actions. 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, then Colossians. If you come to the T's and Hebrews, you missed it. Back up. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Not a very not one book used a lot, but it's got a lot of great things in it. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. And lots of great things in it there as we look at this portion of Scripture here. Did you all get there? That's a little hard to find sometimes. Not too many pages in your Bible. Maybe two or three pages sometimes. Depends on how big the print is and how many notes you have. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. I've got a dry mouth today. I don't know. It's just a work yesterday or humidity or lack of humidity, I guess you should say, huh? Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Okay. Colossians 2, 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. But let any beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Verse 9. For in Him dwell all the faithfulness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities and power. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just thank You as we open up Your Word of God again, that You'll bless, strengthen, and teach us as You open up Your Holy Word, that You might help us understand receiving Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 6 is going to kind of our main verse. We might get to the other verses. I don't know. As ye therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Now, the word ye there means plural, more than one. They say, well, we don't need the these, the ye's, and the thou's. Well, you do, because they help explain the Word of God so much better. But ye is plural. It is not just to one person. It is to all, everyone. Now, this is written to Christians here. The book of Colossians was written to Christians, but it doesn't have to just be for Christians. It can be for people. Now, it says here, as ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Notice it uses all of His name there. Christ means the Messiah, the anointed one, the one sent from God. Jesus means Savior, Savior of the world, as He was told by God to name His Son Jesus. And then Lord is His position in your life, and someday will be His position in this world. This physical world right now. He will reign and rule from Jerusalem someday. He will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, He is still Lord now. He still is in charge. He is still on the throne. He just hasn't taken possession of everything yet. But, receive Christ Jesus the Lord. What does that mean? What does it mean to receive Him? What does receiving Christ Jesus entail? What all is involved in receiving Him? What is receiving, and how does one receive? There are many misconceptions throughout the world today what it means by receiving Christ Jesus. Many people claim to be Christians, say that they are born again Christians, and they have never actually received Jesus. Not that I'm saying they don't know about Him, don't know who He is, don't understand about the cross and some of those things. But they never have actually received Him. And that is a very important key to salvation. As I was looking at cross references, studying through the Bible, I was over in where Jesus went over to on the other side of the Sea of Galilee to the Gadareans. And there was a man there that lived in the tombs in the cemetery. And he was possessed with many demons. The demon said his name was Legion, for we are many. And this man was berserk. They couldn't control him. He sat naked in the tombs, cried out and screamed and hollered all through the night. Cut himself with stones and rocks and was just crazy. They tried to put him in chains and he broke the chains. They tried to put him in fetters, you know, the like stocks, and he broke those. And he was a terror. He lived in the cemetery. That's where he lived all the time. And he was just wild and crazy. Well, Jesus came across and he met him. And he sought help from Jesus. Because he had the demons in him, plus he was still a human that was searching for God. And Jesus cast them out. They went into the swine. The swine went crazy, run off of a bluff into the ocean and drowned. After all of that takes place, the Gadareans come out and they compel and persuade and they ask Jesus to leave. Leave. We don't want your kind here. We don't want you here. We don't want you here. He messed up their business. Messed up, I don't know if he was a tourist attraction or what. And he says, that man wanted to go with Jesus when he left. He says, no, I want you to stay here and tell your family and friends what great things God has done for you. But where I was headed with all that story, the account in Luke tells us that when he came to pass, that when Jesus returned to the other side of the sea, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. As far as we know, Jesus went over there for that one purpose, to save that man, and then that man took the word to his family, that man was a living testimony of what God can do in a person's life, because when they saw him sitting in his right mind and clothed, they were amazed at what happened. And that's what God can do in anyone's life. We are in the same situation. We may not have demons in us. We may not be crazy. We may not be cutting ourselves with stones. But our life is a mess many times. And Jesus can perform the same miracle and change you around and put you in your right mind. And some people need to learn how to dress too. You know, He can change a lot of those things. But what we're focusing on is receiving Him. They had been waiting for Jesus to come back. They wanted Jesus to be there. They wanted Jesus to be with Him. And it says they gladly received Him. Another time we find the word receive in the Bible is with, what was that guy that climbed the tree? Zacchaeus. I got it written down here. I couldn't think of it. I lost it. Zacchaeus, the wee little man. You know what he was? He worked for the IRS of Rome. He worked for the IRS of Rome. He was a publican. He was a tax collector. Well, he was a little guy, and there was a big crowd of people. The Bible calls it a press of people. So he climbed up in a tree so he could see Jesus. Now, most of the time, you don't look up into a tree as you're walking, but Jesus did. And he saw Zacchaeus. And he went up to Zacchaeus and he stopped the whole procession there. And he told Zacchaeus, I must abide in your house today. And you know what Zacchaeus did? It says, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Now, I don't know, you know, the IRS has got a bad name. I haven't had any trouble with them personally. Maybe you have, but whatever. But they've always been helpful to me. But anyway, you know, taxes and government, and they're wasting the money. I know that. And there's no question about in my mind that the government doesn't deserve what they've got, and they're wasting it, and they're going to keep wasting it, and I don't see any change going to take place. It's just going to be how much are they going to waste. But anyway, the Bible tells us to pay our taxes. But Zacchaeus said he gave back if he had took anything from anybody wrong, because God changed his life and made him an honest man. How many people? I mean, we know the right answer is yes. But when he says, I must abide with you today. Now, he just stopped for a little visit. Abide means to live. Jesus doesn't stop by for a little visit. When you receive him, he abides in your life. He is a permanent part of your life. And he knows anything and everything. He knows all of the shadows and all the little skeletons in the closet or whatever it happens to be. He knows all of that. That's a big step to receive someone like that in your life. One of the problems with so many marriages is they don't know what the other one's doing. They don't have communication. There's secrets and all kinds of things. But when you ask Jesus into your life, you're receiving him into your life. And you are opening up your soul to be examined by the Master for anything and everything in all of your life. That's scary. But he loves you. What is it to receive Jesus? There's a difference between knowing about Jesus and receiving him. He tells us in John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe upon his name, to receive him. When a person receives Jesus, it changes their life. Faith and receiving go hand in hand. And they are the complete opposite of merit, our work, our earning. They are complete opposites of that. It is the receiving and accepting of something that's already been totally paid for. It's taking freely, taking part in the grace of God freely. Receiving Jesus Christ the Lord is accepting by faith the grace and mercy of God. It's the whole gamut. It's the whole thing. The word for it is atonement. It's the whole package. It's the box. It's a container. It's the wrapping. It's the paper. It's the tape. It's the bow. It's everything that you are receiving. It is everything. You cannot just receive part of Jesus. You cannot just take part of the Bible. You take the whole thing. You cannot say, well, Jesus, I don't want to go to hell. Just keep me out of hell. That's not receiving Jesus. It's everything that you take in. Until you receive Christ Jesus into your soul and life, you are an empty vessel longing and waiting to be filled. Now remember I said as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord into your soul and your life. When your soul changes, when your heart changes, it becomes a part of your life. Remember the old black and whites? I guess they're in color now, movies. The old Frankenstein movies, remember those? Where the guy would go out to the cemetery and get different parts, a hand from this one, and a foot from that one, and a brain from that one, and a heart from this one, you know. And he'd sew all this together, you know, and big old nighttime scene, and lightning and clouds, and all this stuff going on, and the lightning would strike, and all this stuff with sparks would fly everywhere, and he'd pull this switch, and big old cloud of smoke would come up. The guy would go, ooh. And this big old guy come up, you know. And if he took the hand from somebody that was a murderer, that hand would go around and try and murder people. Remember those old movies they used to have, the black and white movies? The old horror movies they used to call them. Remember those? Well, you see, when the heart's changed, the whole person is changed. You're not part doctor and part murderer or whatever, you know. You're all one thing. But until the heart's changed, nothing's going to change. So when you receive Christ into your life, you receive Him into your soul and your life. 24/7. He's part of you. And He works to change your life. Now, sometimes we fight those changes. Sometimes we rebel against those changes. But He's never going to quit trying to change you. He's never going to quit trying to work in you. Do you want Jesus? Do you want Jesus in your life? Do you want Jesus in your home? Do you want Jesus in your family? Are you together on this as a family? Sometimes it's not that way. You know what a cistern is? One of those things you catch rainwater in? Grandparents had one of those. Had rain gutters around the house. Flip a lever and it'd wash the roof off. Then flip a lever back. And the water would come down through this box. It had charcoal and rocks and spun glass and different things in it. And it'd come down and it'd go into a tank underneath the house. I don't pump it up, you know. Had rainwater for drinking water. It was in West Texas. Sister never was totally full. But as Christians, you are like an empty, as a lost person, you're like an empty cistern, dry, waiting to be filled up. Like the earth that's dry, waiting for the grace of the rain to fall upon it and give moisture and warmth to the seeds as they sprout forth. The night sky would be totally black if it wasn't for the stars and the moon as they accept that light. Many people's lives are black with darkness because they don't have the light of God in their lives. They are dry like an old dried up cracked cistern because they don't have the living water flowing through them. How does one know if they're filled? How do you know that you've received How do you know what you've done and believed is real? How do you know that you have actually received Christ? How do you know that? The same way you know when the cistern's full. It's full. It's not empty anymore. It's basic. When you receive something, you're not empty anymore. There's thousands and thousands of things out there that try and fill your life. But they are nothing. You are still empty. There is still a longing. There's still a desire. There's still a drawing in your life. There's something missing. We're not talking about having all your bills paid and everybody's all happy and everybody's walking around skipping all the time. We're not talking about that kind of joy. That's things that you're not going to get in this side of glory. Oh, you'll get some joy and some peace and happiness, yes. But you can't trust emotions. Emotions are of the flesh. But there's a peace that passes all understanding. When you're not empty anymore, you stop looking. Because you found it. And you need to let this overflow. Do you need Jesus in your life? Has there been a time that you have received Him in your life? In our scripture that we read here, in verse 8, it says, "Beware lest any man spoil you or steal you through philosophy, vain deceit, empty things, traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world." The basic element, earth things. And not after Christ. These are shadows. You cannot receive a shadow. But a shadow is caused because there's something between you and the light. The only way to have a shadow is something is interfering with the light and it causes a shadow. There's no other way to have a shadow. You cannot receive a shadow. And you can't see the true light. You can't see the full glory of the light. You cannot receive the full benefits of the light. You cannot receive the warmth of the light because there is a shadow between you and the light that you will not go around or go through. Because you cannot receive a shadow. The rudiments of the world, the vain traditions of men. Religion. Religion is a shadow. Religion didn't die on the cross. Jesus Christ died on the cross. Religion didn't come out of the grave. Jesus came out of the grave. He's alive today in heaven. And in some of your souls, He dwells and lives there right now. He is alive today. He is not a shadow. He is the real thing. He is the real McCoy. You cannot receive a shadow. But you have to step out of the shadow to receive the light. You have to recognize a shadow for what it is. A shadow is the image of something. It's not the real thing. By faith, Jesus is, without faith, Jesus is only a name. a person that lived a long time ago in ancient history. By faith, Jesus comes a real abiding person in your life. The miracles in the Bible are a sermon acted out. Salvation is described as a blind person receiving their sight, which they did. Or a deaf person receiving their hearing. Or the dead being raised to life. Or the lame being healed. Or those that couldn't walk or walk. Those that have been sick or healed. The lay that issue of blood is healed. All those things are miracles acted out. But they received more than their physical sight or their physical healing or their physical abilities. They received more than being brought back to life. They received Christ Jesus in their life also, these miracles. You look at them. The man that was born blind in John chapter 9, he received his sight even before he saw Jesus. Even before he knew who Jesus was. It was a sermon acted out. But more than that, one of the greatest things is they receive pardon for their sins. Pardon for their sins. And someday we'll receive a mansion in heaven and a glorified body and see the face of Jesus. They received a Savior. They received a friend. They received someone that will never forsake them nor leave them. That's what they received. To receive something, you have to accept it. You have to take it. In faith, you receive the gift of God. There's no other way that you can get Jesus. He's in heaven. You're going to crawl up and hang from the steeple and cry out, "Jesus, hear me!" He'll hear you better on your knees in your bedroom than anywhere else. You're going to reach up and grab a cloud and get a piece of Jesus? Well, I got Jesus now. Can't do that. Jesus is real and alive today in heaven. How are you going to get in touch with Jesus? Through your heart, through your soul, through faith. All of this is good information, but until you receive it, it does no one any good. It has to be received. And we receive Him into your soul and into your life. And it becomes a part of you. Becomes a part of you. Verse 7 says, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith. Abounding therewith with thanksgiving. When the man had the 99 and the one sheep, he went out looking for it. What did he do when he found it? He come back rejoicing with his friends. I have found the one that was lost. What happened to the woman that lost the coin in her house? She swept and cleaned her own house, her whole house, till she found it. And when she found it, she went back and rejoicing and say, "I found it, I found it." The prodigal son that had left and came back home when he came to his right mind, the father threw a big party and says, "I found him, I found him. Our son that was alive, was dead, is alive again." It says there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. Abounding with joy. When I think of abounding, I think of some kangaroo just hopping all over the place, can't contain himself. You've seen those those signs in doctor's offices and stores and says, if you don't contain your children, we're going to give them a cappuccino and a free puppy. They had a kid just bouncing all over the place, you know. That's how Christians are. Bouncing all over. Why? Because you found what you've been looking for. You found that, fill that vacuum. You found Jesus. You found what you needed. You found what you've been searching for your whole life. And you kept coming away empty. You kept coming away empty. So many people go through the religion's doors and they go out the same way they came in, empty. They didn't receive anything there because there was nothing to find. Receiving changes your life. Changes your destiny, changes your home, changes eternity, changes everything about your life. I liked what Spurgeon said. A heart full Jesus. What a heart full, what a great heart full Jesus must be. How amazing and how filling He must be. For heaven itself cannot contain Him. Heaven is not big enough to contain Jesus. So what a heart filling He must be when He comes in. Because He is immense. He is huge. He is bigger than the universe. What a blessing that has to be. And it is. Because He fills you up. He told the woman at the well, you'll never go thirsty again. That you'll be rivers of water flowing out. That's what it is when Jesus comes in your life. But sometimes, we need to go back to that day we got saved. We need to go back to that time in our life and remember what God did in our life and how He changed us. How He made a beggar a child of the King. What a great blessings that He's done for us. Because the old devil don't like you to be happy. He don't like you to be joyful and sing about Jesus and praise His name. He wants to take that away from you. Make you an old sourpuss or something. You know, and sucking on persimmons or something. You know, hey. What do you do when the world gives you lemons? Make lemon juice, huh? That's all this world's got for you. But with the sweet honey of the rock, it becomes refreshing in your mouth. You know, sometimes people suck on lemons and eat those and chew them up. But if you know, on a good hot summer day, oh man, a nice fresh squeezed jar of glass of lemon juice, some ice in it, all them little sweats of drops of moisture all around it. You see that setting on the cabinet and you're just thinking about, oh man, that's going to be so good as you, oh. And it just goes down. And you feel it going all the way down. And you feel it hit your stomach and you just go, ah, oh, that felt good, huh? That's what Jesus is to your soul. He's sweet. He's refreshing. He's uplifting. He's encouraging. He's strengthening. And He refreshes you for the next day. And after you sit down in the shade and had that old glass of lemonade, you can go pull some more weeds, huh? And fight the world and stand up for Jesus. Has there been a time in your life that you received Jesus? Has there been a time in your life that joy took place in your life?
beyond the shadow of a doubt that when you close your eyes for the last time that you'll wake up with Jesus. What are you counting for? Are you counting on Jesus to take you there? Or are you counting on something you did to take you there? Jesus is the only one that can do it. The Baptist church or any other church can't take anybody to heaven. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. That's the one we receive. That's the one we put our faith in. That's the one we put our trust in. Is Jesus. Let's stand to our feet and have a time of invitation. See what God would have us to do. What God has for us. What God wants to share with us. What God wants to burden our hearts with. Dear Jesus, we ask. We turn this part of the service over to you. That God, that you might renew the joy in Christians' hearts first. That you might renew the peace and the abounding love in their lives. But then also, God, those that do not know you as their Savior. Those that do not know what this is to experience this. That today they will give in. Give to Jesus and receive Him. We ask for these things in the name of Jesus.